Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and it's February the 18th of 2012, and this is another edition of the Zero Point Radio Show. I've had the show on BBS now for about 6 years, and through that time I had co-host James Moffitt on with me, and Jim had studied with me through the past 30 to 40 years that I've explored the issues of mystical teachings and modern science, and especially exploring the issues of human consciousness. And I consider myself most a mystical scientist, meaning that I'm trying to understand the enigmas of human consciousness and the nature of creation. So we generally explore widely across science and philosophy and religion and mysticism and such. And then over time, I've also played a role in terms of activism and trying to address the terrible kind of situation we are in as humankind at this time on this planet. There's just so much tragedy and illness and troubles around the world, just on so many fronts. You wake up to the kind of enormity of the problems of humankind and all these deceptive things being done in our societies and so on, and wars based on deception. And it's horrifying to kind of face this all and realize the situation we're in as the human race. And it's like, what's happened to humankind? Like, how did mankind so lose our way? And we see such violence spreading around the world and threat of new wars and even a World War III and more weapons and more depleted uranium and threat of nukes being used and all these terrible kinds of things. And the poisons being sprayed by chemtrails and poisons and inoculations, all the science coming out showing what a fraud inoculations have been. It's overwhelming in ways, and at times I feel overwhelmed by it all. It's like the tragedy of humanity. And Gurdjieff talks sometimes, he says, when a person attains their own eye, then that person can play a role in helping to bear the sorrow of our endlessness, which I think is a profound kind of phrase. And it's, you can imagine some conscious being aware of all the tragedies of humankind and all the suffering and wars and violence and rapes and you know, destruction of lands and invasions, everything. It's just terrible. It's like, what's happened to humankind? How did the human race go and so insane as we've become and as we see on the international scene? And so much of everything is based on deception and lies. It's truly very tragic. It's really tragic. And I know the people who do this, they consider themselves illuminated. Wow, like a pretty weirded out idea of illumination. And in a way, it's so small. Everything they do in a way is so small. It's like a psychopath who thinks he's so clever because he can trick other people who are more naive or more loving or more normal. All these deviant things that have gone on and you know, the internet move, radio shows and the truth movements kind of brought so many of these lies out into the public awareness. It's an amazing time to be alive, and I feel personally that we're facing major serious crisis in the life of humankind on this planet. And somehow, you know, I've tried through the past years to contribute in some ways to kind of reversing that. Like, what can we do? Is there no justice in the world? You know, is there no truth? It's a media completely based on lies and public deception. And so many of our educational systems have been dumbed down. Our medical societies have been corrupted. All the departments of government, it's such an insidious corruption that's overtaken us all. In the United States and Canada, England, Israel, all the major countries. why, what happened to humankind? And through my life of mystical studies, like, I became interested in the mystical idea of knowing thyself and what is the nature of self in the human being. And mystics say, know thyself. Gurdjieff says, know thyself. And I realized at a certain point in time that Western psychology and teachings all thought that the self and human consciousness are somehow produced by the mind in the head. I call that the head doctrine. And then I realized how mystical and spiritual psychologies all teach that the origins of the I experience or of consciousness within us, it actually originates out of the heart. And it's connected to the oxygenation of the body and the blood flow in the body. So consciousness isn't a product of the material brain in the head, but it's really a symptom of the living entity connected to the human heart, that there is a living entity, in a sense, within the human heart, a self. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, they describe the self, the jiva atma, like the God particle or the God principle. And Lord Krishna says, I am the self seated in the hearts of all living beings. So as I studied mystical teachings, I realized the importance of this heart doctrine, the idea that our true selves are known within the heart. In the Jewish tradition, they say the truth is under our noses the whole time. And that's kind of like our hearts are under our noses. And the yogi, he defines self-realization as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. So in the mystical traditions, I came to write the book called The Heart Doctrine, which is exploring this alternative view of what consciousness is in human beings. And I've studied the idea of psychology as the science of the soul, because that's connected to the issues of the nature of human consciousness. And that's what I see today on this planet, that it's like humankind has gone insane. It's like people have such a false consciousness system conditioned and brainwashed into them, and it's like people's hearts have closed and everyone's in fear or concern only for themselves in their circle of egoism and narcissism. And we're facing such major problems upon this planet. And when you hear of all these things, in a way, it breaks my heart. Like, how can we allow these tragedies to go on? And it seems so impossible to face the beast of modern times. So that's part of my story and where I am in my life, and still struggling in that, and try to be part of the truth movement and to try to help turn people around and just kind of stop the madness. And we could have had such abundance on the earth if we had respect for each other's lives. No matter what you are, a Hindu, a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, an atheist, who cares? We're all human beings. Let's live together in harmony on the planet. How it could be all so simple, but instead humankind spends so many billions and trillions in wars and destruction of the planet around the world. And it's just ongoing. It's madness. It's such madness. And of such an overwhelming portion. It's truly a kind of tragic story of humanity on this planet. So you know, now over time, I still am interested in my mystical science and pursue that, and work also trying to contribute to the truth movement and the awakening of humankind, because I think to help in this crisis, we need an awakening of conscience in people, and conscience is connected to the awakening of the heart and becoming aware of what you have become and what you've done and what you've not done and what's happened to the tragic life of humankind. So we need an awakening of consciousness and the heart, in my view, and humanity, for humankind to move forward to the next stage of human evolution. And Gurdjieff compares human evolution to a ladder of 7 levels. He says most people are in the 3 lower levels, in what he calls man number 1, 2, or 3, whether they're most physically, emotionally, or mentally centered. But he says what we want to attain is the level of a man number four, and that involves the awakening of the I, or the and the higher emotional center, and that's all connected to the heart. So the first level, like mechanical man in a way, is a man number one, two, or three. What we need is an awakening of the heart to bring us to the level of the man number four. So I believe there's kind of a mystical science to this process of the awakening of the heart. And the Illuminati, they have their dogma or teaching, which is the eye dogma. That's what Blavatsky calls it, because it focuses on the third eye, the eye of dogma or eye of illumination. And Blavatsky says of the heart doctrine that it's a deeper teaching than the doctrine of the eye. She says Great Sifter is the name of the heart doctrine. It's like one of those pearls or nuggets of gold that has to be understood. It's the heart doctrine. So anyway, Zero Point Radio Show, through the years, we've explored as well as we could the issues of consciousness and science of the soul, and we talk about afterlife experiences, and we've also explored 9/11 in particular and other things going on in terms of the politics of the nations. So Jim has stepped aside for a while as co-host, and I have been associated a bit with a woman, Dee Nicholson, in Toronto, who is an advocate in the area of health freedoms. And I get daily emailing from Dee different issues that are happening around the country and the states, and especially as pertain to health care. And so I thought, wow, Dee would be an ideal person to have for part of my shows as co-host to be able to kind of review some of the events of what's going on in our society and the issues that face us, particularly as related to health freedoms. And so it's my pleasure to invite Dee in. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Christopher. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Dee. Maybe, Dee, you could just fill us in a little bit, just a bit of your background and history what your current position is with the... Yeah.
Well, I started out many years ago in the field of advertising. And for a number of years, I ran my own advertising agency, a little small operation in Winnipeg, and I served a wide variety of clients in, you know, very many fields, from housing to car sales to pool contractors to builders, you name it, I had them as clients. And I was making good money, I had great clients, but there was something that I noticed, and it just struck me one day, that in order to make a living, I had to lie to people and tell them that they had to have this or that or do this or that, because without it, they were less of a human being. And I had realized within myself, you were talking about how you looked outwardly into all the metaphysics of stuff. Well, I looked a little bit, too, into a lot of mystic philosophies, et cetera, et cetera. And what I realized was that it was my own views that held me stuck in that paradigm of lying to people in order to make a buck. And I quit advertising, and I decided, well, if I'm good at advertising, which I am, okay, then perhaps there's a way I can use this to help people to, you know, expand their horizons a little bit, as opposed to lying to them to get them to spend their money on useless stuff. So what I did was I got involved through some friends in the anti-drunk driving movement. And, of course, we all know that anti-drunk driving is a good thing to do. I was pretty pleased with what I was doing at the time. And eventually I wound up with a little project. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm not sure who the
I'm
line
I'm hearing
is.
That beeping, yeah.
Yeah, oh, there's Khan.
Yeah, okay, good. Anyways, I got a project going with Carling O'Keefe as a sponsor on the one side, on the financial side, and on the other side, I had the cooperation of Much Music and City TV. And we put together, at extremely low cost, in fact, zero cost to the TV station, only consulting costs to Carling O'Keefe and whatever materials were produced. So again, for a project that was as big as this, it was very, very cheap. We ran for over 5 years. We got into 22 countries worldwide. And this was anti-drunk driving using rock stars as the spokespersons. And we interviewed over 200 very, very famous rock stars. I mean, we're talking Sting, we're talking Twisted Sister, we're talking AC/DC, we're talking Motley Crue, you know, all of the biggies, all of the biggies. I even got Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son. And Janet Jackson. So, I mean, it was a marvelous compendium. Got it into 22 countries. And what was real interesting was that once I started promoting a particular point of information to people, that project was, let me put it this way, purloined. It was taken over. By the brewery, and they said, well, we're firing you because you don't seem to be interested anymore. Well, let me tell you the statistic that I uncovered that tipped me over to the point where I realized the full depth of evil in terms of what people would do for money. I found through the Center for Science and the Public Interest in Washington, D.C., there was a fellow there who had put out a statistic, and it had been proven that 6% of the population of the United States was responsible for the purchasing of over 50% of the alcohol sold in America. Now, that meant that 6% of the population, only 6%, were drinking 50% and more of the alcohol industry's profits. Okay? More than half their profits came from misery.
From the heaviest drinkers,
From the heaviest drinkers.
Yeah.
Came from the misery of being alcoholic.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I asked myself a simple question. If I were a member of the board and I noticed that, and I went to my next meeting and I said, wait a minute, guys, you know we produce alcohol products, but what we should be doing is we should be doing way more to prevent the misery that we know our product causes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I thought to myself, what would happen if a guy did that? And then my immediate answer was they'd call the cookie truck right quick. Because no corporation is going to give away 50% of its profit, period. End of story.
Yeah.
And that's
just like the greed of corporate greed.
Exactly.
In a way is what we see in different areas. Yeah.
Exactly. And bear in mind, before that, I was bleating sheeple pretty much like the rest of us. I was absorbed in my own pathetic little life. And, wasn't interested particularly in world affairs. And, you know, I saw people protesting against globalism way back when, and I thought, well, what the hell's wrong with free trade? And now I know. Now I know what's wrong with free trade. But then I didn't. I was like everybody else. And then I had this massive awakening through the advertising and everything else and realizing what was driving this planet. What's driving it? Two things, lies and money. And the two of them go together because without the lies, you don't have that kind of money because our money's a lie. It's made out of nothing but data. And we all know that. We all know that, but it's the only system we got. So, hey, most people would rather deal with the devil they know than the one they don't. And because nobody's yet come up with a system that everybody could just jump into overnight without massive loss and chaos, that hasn't come about. Now they're talking about a world currency. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, I'm trying to give a little background of me, and essentially from that massive awakening, what exactly was driving this place, came a realization of that has really been meaningful to me in my family, in my life, and that I had three relatives literally killed by the medical system. Three, okay? And then they tried to kill my mother. You know, and I say tried because my mother was misdiagnosed, given a wrong drug, and that drug almost killed her. Put her in the hospital after nearly freezing to death, passing out in a snowdrift because of these meds. So,
just how they, don't they say that the pharmaceutical drugs are like the third cause of death?
They are the third leading cause of death. In fact, John Rappaport just put out a piece this week recalling his interviews with the late Dr. Barbara Starfield, who was a consultant with all kinds of government this and that, and has reports published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. And, yes, the figure actually is that it's 225,000 Americans, and this is years ago, so I dare say that figure's higher because the drugs today are more prevalent and more dangerous. And it was 225,000 people a year that were killed by the proper, in terms of reference, by the proper management of their cases. And that included infections picked up in hospitals, surgeries that were unnecessary, surgeries that went wrong, prescription medication, and the actual figure for prescription medication is 106,000 a year, okay?
Wow.
But the actual figure for all iatrogenic deaths is 225,000 a year, and in a decade, that's 2.25 million people.
Wow.
And that's just from proper medicine.
Yeah.
Then you look at the natural health. And by God, you want an education. I tell you, there's a lot of people who really don't know much about natural health out there. And a lot of them, you know, they don't like drugs, but by the same token, they don't know enough about natural health to know whether or not they could rely on it and trust it and have faith in it. And of course, it's much easier when you're sick.
And again, we see the role of kind of corporate greed in taking over the medical system and bringing in all the pharmaceuticals and
They've done that for over 100 years, darling. In fact, our dear old friend, John D. Rockefeller, after he had successfully set up the oil and chemical cartel at the turn of the 20th century, okay, in about 1897, he was hiring a guy by the name of Frederick Tapsfield. And this Tapsfield guy was assigned the duty of making sure that allopathic medicine people were at the helm of literally everything. They were involved in every city committee, every regional committee, every federal committee, every educational board, every university. There were medical people. That was his job, to make sure that the white coats were represented in every public affair possible.
Yeah.
And so,
well, you sure see that, like, just now, like, talk about over-medicated people.
It's like
1 out of 3 Americans are on the antidepressants.
Here's one for you. And we all know, I mean, anybody who's watching anything, including Bloomberg, for heaven's sakes, we're not talking exactly alternative media here when you talk Bloomberg, okay? And even Bloomberg is saying the crash is coming, people, buckle up.
Yeah.
And there, a lot of people are saying it's going to be worse than anything you could possibly imagine because it's global.
Yeah.
It is not just local. It is global.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wait a minute. You got a third of the American public already on antidepressants. And half of the rest of them need something because they're all messed up. Okay? What happens if everything crashes and all of a sudden 100 million people don't get their meds?
Well, they could help to restore their health.
Well, it definitely would restore their health, but after withdrawals, and it's the withdrawal stage I'm worried about.
Yeah,
and
no, there's dangers for sure, but it's funny because at the same time, people hopefully will turn more to natural medicines and get back to that.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. But here's the problem, you see. Health freedom activists, and this is where I went, obviously, after my session with the anti-drunk driving forces, but I got blackballed because of that one thing, so I just switched fields pretty much. And here I come into health freedom, and I go, oh, my God, look what we have happening here. We have ignorant people because the information has been suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
You have a government that takes absolute delight in putting a thumb on everything that works.
Mm-hmm.
You have a government that promotes, at the behest of said white coats who have infiltrated everything public since the turn of the 20th century, and here we are in the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then you have a bunch of people who are wandering around in complete darkness and swallowing everything these idiots say. Like it's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody's standing in a tower that makes it true, you know what? Any fool can climb a tower.
I'm not sure what...
That doesn't make his words true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's so disturbing to see. I saw one news clip where doctors are advising, like, Gardasil vaccinations for young boys do such things?
Well, this in the face of 2,800 young girls dying.
Yeah.
2,800 around the world have died from that shot.
Yeah.
Now, how many people want their kid to be the next one? How stupid is that? And you know what? This is real interesting, too, because I don't have cable in my house for my TV. I have, like, an antenna, and what I can't get by my antenna, I go online for. Okay, so I'm watching one of my favorite series on TNT. Okay, The Mentalist, of course. I like The Mentalist.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, I'm watching the show, and on comes the commercial. And I realize it's a drug commercial. I think it was for Cymbalta, the first one that I noticed. And since then, I've seen every single one of them, no matter what company, no matter what drug, they all follow suit. It's 10 seconds worth of commercial praising the drug.
Wow.
It's 20 seconds of commercial, and in some cases up to 25, because I've timed them.
You're listing the
side effects, including death.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going, wait a minute. How dumb are people if they actually listen to that commercial, hear 20 to 25 seconds of deadly side effects, and they still go out and take the stuff?
I guess it absolves them of responsibility somehow, they think,
You know what's crazy? They go to their doctors. See, this is why drug advertising should always have been illegal, should have stayed off the air, out of the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff should ever be advertised.
Yeah.
And the reason for that
and promoted,
is people will self-diagnose and go running to their doctors and say, I want this drug. Okay? And the doctor says, you don't need that drug.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But the patient will go elsewhere and get the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they can even get them online. In the States, they have so-called physicians on phone calls, and they will literally prescribe online. They've never met the patient. They've never tested the patient. They ask a few simple medical questions, and bingo, bango, there's your meds.
Yeah.
And the pharmaceutical companies are now offering... help, if you can't afford your medication, AstraZeneca might help. Okay? So, in other words, they're going to make sure you get your drugs, and it's almost not even about the profits anymore. They'll give the stuff away.
Dee, I'd like to just bring you... I don't know if we still have our guest in the background. And as I mentioned before, I don't have my watch, so I'm not sure where we are in the hour.
I need to say one more thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to give the floor in a minute. But I wondered, maybe you could kind of just, I say to the listeners, see, Dee's the right person to have on here. You can hear her animation and wide experience. So I would like to welcome you, Dee, as co-host of the show. And maybe you can just kind of bring it together and give your links, Dee, and your position currently. And then we'll bring in on our first guest. And
all right.
I hope he's in the background there. Okay, thanks, Dee. Go ahead, Dee.
All right. Well, all of this. And you can see how it was really, really easy to spot the things that didn't fit. These things, you know, I mean, there's a template. And if they don't fit with what is logical and smart, then obviously there's a pattern going on. And it was a widespread pattern of profiteering and greed and also Agenda 21, eugenics, and genocide. I mean, I couldn't not see it.
Yeah.
And all of this has led me to having the privilege of serving as the executive director of the National Health Federation of Canada. And we are an affiliate of the National Health Federation, which is an international organization based in the United States. The organization is 57 years old. It is in 31 countries worldwide and has actual affiliates in 9 countries, including Canada. It is also a certified non-governmental organization, an NGO. In fact, it's certified as an INGO, which is an international non-government organization, and we are the only organization which has delegate status to all of the Codex Alimentarius meetings that are held around the world.
Oh, yeah, that's your group. Yeah,
that's our group.
Yeah, that's good,
okay. We are the only ones who get on the floor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who can go and sit in the gallery, but they can't participate, they can't speak, and they can't get at the members of the delegations from the different countries.
Yeah.
And our president, Scott Tipps, along with scientific delegations he brings with him, has been responsible for making a lot of changes. I mean, it's a massive struggle because this is NHF here is a finger in a dike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a finger in a dike.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, the whole thing is starting to get very, very interesting because it is all hinged on the one thing that everybody is ignoring these days. All of it, our health freedom, every kind of freedom we have, is hinged on one thing, and that is our sovereignty. Because if we are members of international groups, we've signed international contracts, and those supersede domestic law, and that's how Codex hits us, and that is how all these other laws from other countries are hitting us.
Yeah.
And if you think in the ultimate sense, that we've handed away because of our affiliations with literally dozens and dozens and dozens of countries and rules that we now have to give up our sovereignty on, including our banking regulations. Remember how Harper bragged about our banking regulations saving Canada from the brunt of the recession? Remember that?
No.
Yeah, then last summer, or summer before last at the G20, what does he do? He signs Basel III. Okay, and gives away our sovereignty in banking.
Yeah, I mean, we know now, I think, in Canadian politics, like, our politicians themselves are parts of the Bilderberg groups, like attendees groups and the Council on Foreign Relations. And this globalist agenda has been advanced incrementally over decades, and we're kind of like in the New World Order system in a way. It's
we're
just they maintain a public front, you know.
Yeah, this is the thing. They set up this mechanism, and it is like you would not believe how far the tentacles of this go. I mean, you can go, you think, oh, well, they're doing it at the global level, and they're dealing with our federal governments. Oh, no, 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 no. They are already, they have quite a few mechanisms going whereby the UN in particular is pushing sustainable cities through ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I.
Was used to as ICLEI,
ICLEI,
you said.
Yeah, ICLEI, because there's an I on the end.
Yeah.
There's that in the World Urban Forum, and there's all kinds of other mechanisms that they're in everything.
Why don't we try to bring it back? So and these are subjects we can just pick up on in the second half of the show, and let's pick up on ICLEI because I would like to talk about that. But before we kind of conclude a bit, could you give out your the website? That's important.
The National Health Federation of Canada is just now putting up its own website. If you go to, and I'm not sure whether the connection is up yet now, but our website is going to be, and is, www.nhfcanada.ca. Now, for the moment, it's going to link to the main site of the NHF International, and that website is www.thenhf.com. And then if you go to that site, amazing archives, amazing sources, resources, practitioners all over North America that you can call on if you need a naturopath or any kind of health care help. We have a board of governors and a board of directors that are all like practitioners either in freedom or in health. One of the two.
Yeah.
One of the two. This is what we're about. And, of course, the word freedom means freedom. We're not here to advocate for the sole use of natural products. If you like pharmaceuticals, you can, that's your freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
but have honest reporting, though. We need to have honest reporting. You know, Dee, I always thought the best way, in my view, to test new drugs they want to bring on the market is to match that drug against a natural regimen. And the drug should have to prove its superiority over simply using natural elements. And that's how drugs should be tested before they're introduced to the market.
Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you're right. But you see, on the other hand, they have most of the pharmaceutical drugs are designed to treat symptoms.
Yeah.
Whereas natural medicine does not treat symptoms so much as it does systems.
Yeah.
It is nourishment allowing the body to heal itself.
Yeah.
See, our body is an electrochemical operation from top to toe. Every single operation that our body controls that runs it, and bear in mind the thyroid alone controls 300 systems in the body.
Yes, so unbelievably complex.
So it's
anyway, let's try to bring it to a close a bit too, and just come back. We're going off a bit on another tangent again. So we gave out the websites, and I'll just say what time do you have, Dee? Where are we for?
We're at 5:25.
Okay. Okay. Good. I thought. I'm sorry. I don't have my watch. It makes it awkward for me a little bit.
We're just past 4:30.
But so I'm glad listeners get a taste. This is Dee, and Dee is really knowledgeable, and has had experience in the area for many years, and so Dee's going to become a regular feature on the Zero Point Show, and we'll have discussions of all the things Dee's been talking about. Health freedoms and Agenda 21, and sorry, Dee?
We'll have lots of fun.
Yeah, we will. I don't think we'll have trouble filling the time. And I can be a good talker, too.
I know
okay.
that.
Yeah, so, okay, so that's really nice. It's a pleasure to have you on board, Dee.
Oh, it's good to be here, Christopher. Thank you.
And I must say to listeners that it may be the case that the next show is going to be a special show, but I want to delay talking about that because Dee has a very important issue that she told me before we came on air today, but I want to go to our guest and then I'd like to pick up on that issue in the second half, Dee, because that ties into our next week's show.
Yeah, exactly, and I think we should be leaving listeners with these thoughts as we close the show.
Things
for next week. I mean, it's going to be really important that you realize how things are shaking down right now.
Yeah, it is so serious.
Hour.
Yeah, okay, so we'll pick up on that.
Yeah.
Okay, So what we're going to do, thanks, Dee, it's great to have you on board. And okay, so we're going to bring on a guest, and this is Sylvain Henry. And I met Sylvain, I went out a week ago in Ottawa. I'm going to make an effort to get out to activist movements a little bit more and kind of talk to other people a bit about kind of what's going on. So I went out to a 10-year anniversary of No War PAC, an Ottawa group, which is an alliance of peace groups. And they had a meeting in the Bronson Center in Ottawa, and I went out and attended. And it was curious. It was about maybe under 100 people there, and it was amazing how they were kind of all, so many of them were older. Like, it wasn't, you know, I think when back in the 60s and 70s, like, the peace movement was younger people, and it was like that generation, which is, and now, like, we're all kind of 50, 60, and 70, and a large part. And the highlight of the evening was the Raging Grannies. And these women are all kind of like 70, 80, 90 years old, and they sing, and they kind of go out to protests and such, and still protesting war. And so it was a valuable evening, and it made me sad that really, like, why don't people wake up and see what's happening and contribute and kind of develop a movement that we want to bring back truth and justice? You know, it's sad. It's like it's a dying generation almost. It's like humankind accepts all the madness. But anyway, in that evening, I met Sylvain, and he was telling me some of the things he had done as an activist and some of what he's doing now. And he's a local person, and he invited me out to another event I attended last night down at the U of O. And I thought he would be a good person to invite on and have him share with us some of his background and some of what he's involved in now. Sylvain, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, great, good. I didn't know at one point when we got that phone ringing, I thought maybe you'd got cut off or something.
I'm here.
Okay, so then I'll just give you the floor. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what activities you're involved in and such.
Okay, well, I have two parts of my life, you know, the part where I make a living and the part where I make a life. And the part where I make a life is my activism. It doesn't drain me, it gives me energy. I have four main causes that I promote and I work at. Some of them I've achieved successfully. But basically it's truth. The first is truth, is getting rid of lies. And I believe I found a way to get rid of lies a system that would get rid of liars in a very legal and ethical way. And and I'm working on that, and there will be an article published in community newspapers in Ottawa next month and in some parts of Canada that will talk about that system. The second is health. So first is truth, and then is health. I'm concerned with much of the same issues that Dee is dealing with and regarding health. I'm concerned about the air we breathe. So I have a group that focuses on fighting the lies about chemtrails, that they don't exist, and we have made some significant progress there. We have 4,000 members.
Wow.
Good. And we also, I helped to get rid of or prevent the city of Gatineau to go ahead with their fluoridation project with my 11-year-old son at the time, and a handful of people. That's all it took. And it took about 4 or 5 days to change the decision around, because it was a sure thing. But then there were 16 councillors that voted against it, and only two voted for. So that was
fun.
And, of course, the other issues of our drinking water and, you know, the foods that we eat. So the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food that we eat, and the medicines we take, all part of life. And another one is peace. As many of you know, the situation in the Middle East is getting worse. Canada has sent a warship off the coast of Syria. It's there already. And 12 hours ago, I found out that it is being met by some Iranian battleships. Last Saturday, they were seen off the, in the Suez Canal, and they were heading, they cleared it, and they are now in the Mediterranean Sea. They're off the coast of Israel right now. I believe they're headed for, hopefully they're headed for Syria, not Israel. But that is also confirmed. There are American battleships, okay. British battleships,
okay.
and French battleships. Oh, go ahead.
Sylvain, apparently yeah. there's some problem with your line or something on the phone. Don at the station just asked, said he needed to pull you off or something, make connection again. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Are you there?
He'll bring him back.
Oh, okay, yeah, he'll bring him back. I think he was losing the connection.
Yeah.
Boy, what he was sharing is like, God,
well,
I hadn't heard that at all.
Until Don's got him back on a proper line, on a better line. This is one of the things that Canadians
Goodness.
Have been kept so specifically in the dark about. And
mm-hmm.
that is, like, when I grew up, when you grew up, when we all grew up, this country has always had the reputation of the guys who wear the blue helmets. We're the guys who go out and help. We peacekeep.
Yeah.
That's what we are. We Canadians are peacekeepers.
Yeah.
Traditionally, we always have been that. We will support the little guy.
Yeah.
Okay? But now we have a government that is complicit in war crimes.
Yeah.
We have a government that is warlike and a war hawk.
Okay. Am I back in?
You are.
There you are. Welcome back, Sylvain.
Thanks for picking up, Dee. That's really profound what you say.
Sylvain, we were just adding on to what you were saying that, you know, we're used to being the Canada that wore the blue helmets with the maple leaf on the side, that we were peacekeepers, and that we did not get aggressive. Now we have a government that is aggressive and is a war hawk and is getting us into conflicts where innocent people by the thousands and hundreds of thousands are dying, where their countries are being bombed back to the Stone Age. And this is what Canada is getting a reputation for. Would you agree?
And the potential of it all is escalating. Like, Canada doesn't make any effort to be a peacekeeping country at the UN or just generally. It's like they're going along with this globalist agenda. It's really all quite terrible. Sylvain, you were, why don't you pick up? You just reported something that was very shocking to me, that Iranian battleships had kind of crossed the Suez and were off the coast of Israel.
Yes.
And they're confronting a Canadian battleship.
Well, there's no confrontation yet. They're still off the coast of Israel right now. They're in the Mediterranean Sea. Because Israel is to the south of Syria.
Wow, I'm surprised that's not in the media. I would have thought that would be something Israel would like to promote awareness. Is that in the mainstream media?
It's not in the mainstream media. However, I even know the name of the battleships. There's at least one destroyer, several supply ships that contain ammunition and different kinds of supplies.
Wow.
And, but there's a small flotilla of Iranian ships, and this has been confirmed by the Iranian press.
Wow,
what is of concern, or should be of concern to Canadians, I'll skip all the details. I'll just say that battleships from Russia, Canada, United States, Britain, France, and China are in position either in the Mediterranean, in the Persian Gulf, close to the Strait of Hormuz, or in the Sea of China. Okay?
Wow.
Dear Lord, they're getting ready.
Isn't it terrible, eh?
Like a lot of people say that, if you look at the mainstream media in Canada, in particular, if you take a look at Sun Media on TV, they're trying to justify another humanitarian invasion of Syria, okay, as they did in Libya, and where they actually killed a lot of citizens. And they say they were military targets, but they were not. This has all been verified. So our governments are lying again. Now,
they help to fund and orchestrate what's then presented as a revolution of the people, but really it's orchestrated from outside of the country, with like the
Of course it is. This is NATO, or at least it's purporting to be NATO. I mean, it seems to be more U.S.-led than anything else. But then that's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. I guess somebody has to lead the pack.
I think you got the name wrong. I think it's the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization.
You got that right.
I think we need to rename them.
CIAIDA.
Yeah. The criminals in action.
The NATO operation that attacked Libya was led by Canada.
I know, and not only that, I heard through various sources that we were also in the first invasion of Iraq in 91, and yet Canadians were not told of our involvement. One of the a friend of mine is friends with a Marine who said he was there, and he said, "Oh no, we didn't go and bust Saddam's bunker." He said, "It was your guys did that. Our special forces were on the ground. No Canadian knew about that." And wait a minute, this is not us.
Yeah.
Who the hell has turned us into something other than who we are? And why is it the Canadians are not jumping up and down?
Yeah.
And then I look at the propaganda in the media. You see it too, Sylvain, I'm sure. It turns a hair on your spine too, doesn't it?
It does. A lot of Canadians are not told the truth about what Harper is doing. I'll give you one simple truth, okay? A lot of people think that this, well, you know, Syria and Iran, the war will last. It'll be like a surgical strike, like Libya. You know, just bomb them with cruise missiles, and it'll be over in just maybe 1 or 2 months. That is not the case. Harper has awarded $40 billion for the Atlantic provinces to create a naval shipyard that will produce warships. Warships are not used for fishing. They're used for murdering people. Most of the time, the majority of the people they kill are civilians for whatever reason. So this will not be a short war if we are going to be spending billions of dollars over the next 10 years to be building warships. So this is going to be a very long war. Why is it going to be a very long war? Because Russia and China are taking positions against the Western countries. And they are half-heartedly, but they are still supporting Iran and Syria. They do not want these two countries to be attacked because they want to have a diplomatic resolution to the problems.
And don't you find it interesting that Obama was in China visiting with the president of China on Valentine's Day, and Harper was there only a couple of days before. And isn't
that
fascinating?
That's the talk about Syria.
Well, they tell us what they talk about according to what they want us to know.
Yeah, they told us about the panda bear.
Yeah, it ain't the panda bear, that's for sure. I wish they were panda bears. I'd stick them in a zoo and feed them bamboo, and there you go, boys, have at it. You know, I really wish wars were fought by the guys who decide they're going to happen. You know, you think you're so smart, take a gun and go kill the other guy. Call me when you're done. That's exactly how I'd like to treat them. I mean, you know, we're not street fighters. Canadians are not street fighters. We can be that. We can be that. But they're turning us into, and, you know, I have watched for years now Sylvain's posts online, and I can tell you that what I viewed of this man that we have on with us today is that he makes an honest effort and a tremendous effort trying to reestablish not only in people's minds but also in their hearts that this country is about peace. This country is about loving and helping our neighbors and being compassionate towards each other. And this is what Sylvain is all about. And now our little guest here, with your group of supporters, you are essentially one of the leaders in this country who are sticking your finger in the dike and trying to hold it up for the rest of us. I'm wondering how you're holding up.
Well, you know, before I tell you how I hold up, I just want to make it clear in people's minds that if we do attack Syria or a certain faction of Syria and Iran, okay, that if it will likely be supported by two other superpowers. And as I'd like to remind people about the power of today's nuclear missiles, okay? One of them is equal to, has the same devastating force as 1,000 bombs, the size of the one that was dropped over Hiroshima over 70 years ago. Because, you know, time has gone by and we've made it just more powerful. So if one bomb in Hiroshima can kill 300,000 people, can you imagine one that has 1,000 times its force? It can kill not only a city, it can destroy not only a city, but a region. Now, I have heard that 2 American submarines are off in the Pacific, close to the China Sea. That's why the Chinese are getting nervous, because each of these submarines carries 17 of these missiles that I just described.
Wow, goodness.
So each of these submarines, if they're not destroyed, can destroy 17 regions of a country, perhaps the most important central regions, you know, the main infrastructure.
Wow.
So if there is a war and the superpowers are involved, it will be a very short war. And there will be no winners, believe me, especially if Russia is involved. But back to Dee's question, how I'm holding up. Well, we're going to find out next Thursday at 5 p.m.
You're going to tell us why.
Yeah. For some reason, the New World Order have decided that Ottawa is the place to hold important events. As many people know, the head of the G7, I believe, was Prime Minister Harper, and the vice president of the the head of the G20 was Harper, and the vice president of the G7 was Harper as well. So he has a key position in the world, okay? And he's changing what Canadians are. He's changing our nature, and he's giving us a very, very bad image of Canada, okay? Now, next week, him and some leaders are meeting at the Chateau Laurier, okay, at the corner of Sussex and Rideau of Wellington. And they're going to be having discussions about what to do about Syria. This is serious. Syria is serious. Since the warships of Iran, or of everybody, is already in position, since Russia has told the United States, okay, that their nuclear missiles are now on alert, okay? And you can, if anybody doubts what I say, they can check this themselves in YouTube. YouTube is a great place for getting the real news. I recommend Russia Today, and they have some pretty good Russia Today, YouTube channel.
Yeah, now, and you can also get a direct feed of Russia Today at RT.com. And also on a number of the live free streaming TV sites on the Internet, you can get the direct broadcasts. You can also get their clips from YouTube, but you can watch them streamed. And that is one heavy station. You'll get some real good information there. And this is very much mainstream reporting.
So you're saying, Stefan, then, so next Thursday at 5 o'clock, there's I have a copy of the ad in front of me. It says, "Don't attack Iran. Stop the war of 2012. Protest the war machine." 5 p.m. Thursday, February 23rd, downtown in Ottawa. Assemble
like I said,
at the Human Rights Monument.
All these events I can't come to. All these events I can't come to.
Yeah, well, there'll probably be about 20 of us.
Yeah, well, you know what? Everybody who's in that vicinity needs to get off their very cushy butts and get downtown, because you know what? I, for one, I'm mouthier than Sylvain. He's a gentle guy. He's a quiet guy. You know, but I'm mouthy as hell. And when it comes to stuff like that, it really ticks me off that, you know, here's Harper, and he's a man who controls the Parliament, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the Governor General, and the Privy Council. What else does he need to control to put us into the toilet? And that's what he's doing. And the only thing that's going to stop this, correct me if I'm wrong, is us. It's us Canadians, because we don't talk about it enough. We don't come out and say, we'll sit there in our background and go, tisk, tisk, tisk.
Yeah.
Tisk, tisk. Well, a lot of good that does.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say what? Oh, well, that's just the way it is.
And these
remember that question? What did you do in the war, Daddy?
Yeah.
How do you tell your children what you didn't do?
Yeah.
I'm in the social media a lot. I use that a lot. And I have several thousands of friends on the different social medias. And I would like to say something about Canada and the United States.
Please do.
Ever since the passing of the new law, the NDAA Act in the United States, Americans are afraid. They're deathly afraid, not of terrorists, of their own leader.
Mm-hmm.
They, Americans, with this new law, they can be picked up from the street, detained indefinitely, without protection of the court system.
Even
for
tortured
no
and murdered.
Reason that they're not even given a reason. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's number one. So because of things like that, and because torture in the United States and Canada is now a legal thing, okay, but primarily because they have the NDAA law in the United States, Americans have been phoning me a lot recently, and they're saying, Sylvain, we support the cause, but we're afraid to do something about it. Can't have Canada and Canadians help us. We need your help. You don't have that law yet. Well, you still can. You know, you won't be picked up from the street and detained indefinitely because, you know, the prime minister doesn't like you because you're an Islamist, you know, you're a Muslim. Okay?
Well,
so
I think
we still have that freedom.
I think if people in the truth movement and who want justice and such and speak the truth are the people likely to be rounded up. Like, I don't think there's many Muslim terrorists round up. I don't think.
No, I mentioned Muslim for one reason. Many of you might know, you might have seen these interviews on the CBC or yourself or on national television. Prime Minister Harper was asked the question, what's the main problem in the world today? And he said one word, a word which doesn't even exist, which he created, Islamicism. I don't know if anybody has seen that interview.
I saw that with Peter Mansfield. Yeah, he said that the problem, most important problem in the world was Islamicism, which I don't think it's a word, but it's. He didn't say Islam, or he doesn't say Muslims, it's Islamicism.
Well, and schism is sort of like an idiosyncrasy. It's something that is a characteristic of, you know, when you say it's an schism, it comes from, it's a characteristic of something. So which characteristic was he referring to about
Islam? Well, I will tell you what he was referring to. He was comparing the religion of the Muslims, the Islam, which the word which means peace. He was comparing Islamicism to communism, to socialism, to all the isms that we don't like, you know, fascism, Nazism. Okay?
He's such a fool.
It's rather interesting how fascists always use the word freedom to excess, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They always do, because they wave it like a banner, but they don't define it. It's like when Obama got elected. He got elected on three words, change, hope, and believe. Well, change to what? Hope for what? Believe in what? Nobody answered any of those.
And he didn't change anything, and he didn't give hope.
So here they are, as they stick out the word freedom. Well, what freedom? What freedom are you talking about? You take away our freedom to get natural health. You take away our freedom of speech. You take away our freedom of access to the Internet, which is rapidly coming to a close, I mean, with this ACTA treaty. You take away our reputation as a nation. You give away our sovereignty, and then you talk about freedom.
And they poison us from the skies. How am I free to breathe natural air? Like, I can't.
Yeah, and then they force medicate us with fluoride.
Yeah.
And then you talk about freedom. And there's a law in, you know, this is kind of interesting, and I think it really goes well with what Sylvain has been giving us. And that is that there is no law in this world that is not based on commercial law, which is basically the law of the contract. Now, in the law of the contract, you have to have certain elements in place before you can actually have a contract.
Informed consent?
That's the one.
Oh,
is it? That's the puppy. That's the one right there. You got to have parties to come to an agreement, more than one, okay? You have to have full disclosure, you have to have informed consent, and you have to have a formal agreement. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, you have to know what the other side's got before you make a deal, and vice versa. Well, you tell me where you got informed consent about vaccinations. You tell me where you got informed consent about chemtrails. You tell me where you got informed consent that Harper was going to give away our sovereignty. Where's our informed consent? Therefore, where's our contract? Therefore, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah.
You know,
well, they're globalists who've ascended to power.
Yeah. So who are we handing the country over to? Who are we handing this country over to? What have we done?
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's tragic. And it doesn't serve anyone. It's like it doesn't serve our military. It's tragic for the military because most of the people in the military, I have two sons in the military. They both went in like wanting to serve their country. And then, like, you get in and you realize it's all based on lies and public deception, and they're being used. You know, you hear a toad like Henry Kissinger say, you know, soldiers are dumb, stupid animals. And how many noble Americans and Canadians and people from other countries, you know, they get into the military and they think they're serving their country and noble purposes, and the whole time it's based on lies. It's so tragic.
Yeah. And how many
I would like to say a good thing about the military and the police. Okay? They are not the enemy.
No.
They just do what they're told.
That makes them an enemy in a way. Like, that's the problem. They need to honor their oaths and obey, like, enforce the real laws, you know? It's even at Nuremberg, they said that everybody follows orders. Well, at Nuremberg, just following orders isn't an excuse.
No, it's, look, I speak in full confidence with some soldiers and some police people. Okay, regarding the soldiers, the situation in Iran, some of them told me that Canada has been in preparation for a war with Iran for 8 years. This is not new. Wars don't, you know, it doesn't take a day to install these anti-missile, devices. Okay, so it is already prepared now. It has been prepared, you know, for that period of time. They told me this, so they expect this. Regarding the police, a lot of the police meet with me in private, from different police departments. A lot of them think like us. They do not talk about it within the police force because the fraternity is strong and there's a certain old boys club.
So in other words, we have Canadian Oath Keepers. That organization started by Sheriff Richard Mack. That's pretty much we've got our own.
Yeah, that's a concept that needs to be supported and promoted among the police and military. Like, we need to support them. We need them to obey their oaths of office and perform their real function.
People will support that. People will support that, and they need to know that. They need to know that people will support police and military who honor their oaths.
Yeah, and serve the people of Canada, not serve international globalists who want a global empire and are willing to take us into major wars to achieve it. It's insane. It's insane. Absolutely insane, the escalation of all these madmen.
Sylvain, in your conversations with these people, have they indicated to you in any way that they have any belief in the support that they would get were they to whistleblow?
They would not get that support at all, not from Harper and not from the system as it is now.
No, but I'm saying from the people, from the court of public opinion, do they have any idea of who would support them were they to start coming out like the guys in the States are right now? There's a lot
I'm making
of them coming
some,
out.
I'm making okay. some commercials to that effect. I'm making commercials to let them know, okay, that we're on their side. Because ultimately, the Canadian soldier does not defend Canada. They defend the Queen.
We know, yeah.
Everybody knows that, okay? They're not here for us, really. They give that impression. But they're here for the Queen. Because the Queen still is the Queen of Canada. When a new immigrant comes in Canada and swears in, he swears into the Queen of England as his Queen. So that's another issue.
Well, in fact, Canada and our Parliament swears an oath to the Queen, and so does our Governor General. So,
wow.
So does the justice system. It trickles down to the police. You know, you see the crown on everything, on police cars, RCMP cars. You see the crown of England.
Yeah, so, I know. As I watched my daughter take the oath ceremony for being a lawyer. And she had to swear an oath to the Crown Temple, and that's the City of London. That's not London, England. That's the City of London. That's the head of everything.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I just watched her do it. And it was extremely upsetting, because this is exactly what Sylvain just said. This is exactly where they swear oaths to, and then they're held to that oath.
Well, I don't know. Does that put them these people beyond the laws? Like, it does.
Canadians cannot sue the Queen.
It does. Sorry.
And Canadians cannot sue the Queen, and Canadians cannot sue soldiers for whatever it is they do. So, but that's not the main issue. Are you still there? I just want to make sure we have some communication.
Ahead.
Okay.
Keep going.
I just want to say one important point. What your audience wants to hear. People want peace, and yet the anti-war movement in North America and in much of Europe no longer exists. There are reasons for that beyond discussion here, but basically it's because people are afraid now. They're deathly afraid of their governments. So the government is winning against us. They can do whatever they want with us. Now, the resistance to this evil of a war that will take place has to be done in such a way that poses no risk to the citizens, and that will be demonstrated next Thursday by more than 10 people. I assure you of that.
But then what we find is whenever the people want a peaceful demonstration or protest, the government usually, you know, seeds it with agents provocateur, like we saw that in the G20, where they created this black bloc thing, and we saw that in Montebello, where the only one who caused problem in the protests of thousands of people was three police officers. It's so.
Yeah, that won't happen next Thursday, because I know my people. I know.
No, but I'm saying you don't know everybody who might arrive, and these. It's like the police won't let people protest peacefully. They do criminal things to interrupt these processes.
I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know if you recall. Two years ago, I brought Gandhi, Gandhi's fourth grandson, Arun Gandhi, to Ottawa at an event that I called Peace and Prosperity, where I also invited, and they came, five ambassadors and high commissioners of different countries, South Africa, India, Sri Lanka, and so on. And it was a great event. About 350 people attended.
Wow.
And I asked a number of children to take care of the entire event. I just made some recommendations to them. And they said, we don't want a program on the stage. We want to have a ritual. So the kids made a ritual on the stage. William Kamanda, grandfather William Kamanda, was the one who blessed this ritual. It was a very, very, very beautiful thing. Okay? Now, one thing that I know about Mr. Gandhi, because Arun Gandhi, he was 14 when his grandfather was shot, so he had a lot of time with him in the ashram over in India. And now, this man, his grandfather, the Mahatma, managed to face the entire British Empire without an army, and he won. He asked Britain to leave. Eventually, they left. They had some casualties, of course, and these people are martyrs for the cause, and they're heroes for the cause. But ultimately, he won. I think that can be repeated again, but with some slight modifications. You know, a simple, safe, sound, sure protesting system that the police can't arrest you at all because you're not doing anything bad. You are just there. Anyways, hopefully it will be successful next Thursday. But if ever there is a plant inside this event, I myself will personally take care of that person. Okay?
Yeah, we need to be cautious of who's there and keep our eyes out and try to identify these people who come in and do provocative things. You know, people need to get them on video and yeah. And I think at a protest like that, we need to be trying to talk to the police. Like, hey, don't you guys ever want to be real police again, you know? We need your protection. Like, we need you to serve us and the peoples. You know, in a way, I mean, you know, at this meeting they got, like it says, war profiteers, the Harper government, and military commanders from Canada, the UK, and the US are meeting in Ottawa. And it's like, really, oh, this is a conspiracy to commit mass murders going on here in Ottawa. But
it is,
people think
it's
all
normal. It is true that our
prime
minister has the tendency of taking chiefs of police and making them senators, okay? He wants to have the police on his side. Okay, he can't have them all. He can have a couple of chiefs, but there's a lot of darn good officers out there. There's a lot of Serpicos in the Ottawa Police Department. I have a lot of trust that we won't have any problem at all, and my hope is that we're going to create an example, hopefully an example, a successful example, of how to protest in this new millennium a different way than was ever done before during the time of John Lennon. During the time of John Lennon, it worked then for him, okay? He ultimately got shot, but, you know, and the United States got tried to get rid of John Lennon.
Well,
why?
He
because he was successful.
Well, he didn't get shot at one of his events. He did not get shot at one of his events. Okay?
No, he didn't. He didn't. But what the United States was, government was trying to do, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to deport him back to the UK.
Yeah.
And they almost succeeded. But he fought. And America wanted him, and they kept him here, and he stayed in New York. But he was very effective. He helped stop the Vietnam War, which was another war based on a lie. It was based on an incident in the Bay of Tonkin, which was totally fabricated by the general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There are people who make money and profits from the war industries, and that's the problem. Like, that's central to, you know, all that's going on is these people who want to make their billions and millions and trillions through the war industries.
Well, we need to make a peace industry equally as strong.
Yeah.
You know, there is a direct relationship between peace and prosperity. If you look at the United Nations, on their site, they have something called the GPI, the Global Peace Index. It means that nations that have the most internal peace have the greatest prosperity. You take, for instance, South Africa. Unemployment rate, 35%. People have prison bars in their windows, okay, in their private homes. Okay, you get mugged right in the middle of the, you know, lunchtime.
Wow.
You know, you're at a red light. People come with you in a gun and take your car at a red light. It's that bad. I know. I have friends all over the world. Okay, so peace should be an industry because, you know, it encourages prosperity.
Yeah.
But the peace, our leaders are not able to keep peace.
According to them, though, Sylvain, it encourages prosperity in the wrong hands, namely ours.
Yeah, that's what it's been historically.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Oh. No, when I say prosperity, I mean prosperity for all, not for those who have billions of dollars. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they eat three meals a day just like we do, you know. I met a man once. I worked for a multimillionaire. I asked him, I said, if I wrote your biography, what would you say were the main steps in your life? He said, oh, well, when I was in my 20s, sex was the big thing. And it lasted up till my 40s. And then after that, money was the big thing. And sex became secondary. But after that, I discovered something even more thrilling than either money or sex. Because he said, now I can have both of these, and you know, they don't mean much to me. He said, power. Once you taste power, money and sex don't mean a thing to you.
It's interesting, Sylvain. I don't know if you heard my opening of the show, but I was talking about the evolution of human consciousness, and it said that there are three centers or chakras below the heart, and those are associated with the motives of money, sex, and power.
Absolutely.
And that's what, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Like, what you say exactly illustrates what I was saying about people being ruled by their lower nature. Because the next, maybe when that man is on his deathbed and he's not taking his millions with him, his sexual conquests mean nothing, and he has no power. then maybe he'll open his heart and have remorse of conscience for all the things he's done, or
and
not.
Isn't it interesting that at the top of the show, Christopher, you were talking about Gurdjieff and the ladder with seven rungs on it?
Yeah.
Okay, and he's talking about where you want to go is the fourth rung.
Yeah.
Well, in yoga, that's the heart chakra, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you become above the mechanical mind. However,
yeah,
you know, you're supposed to be a balance of both the heart and the mind.
Yeah.
The body funnels energy in very specific ways. And these ways are basically employed to put this balance in place, but we don't let that happen because we live in our heads, not our hearts.
Our whole society is kind of created this like false consciousness system.
Absolutely.
Through the media and through,
yeah,
the education. And,
we're totally body and stuff oriented. We don't,
yeah,
identify,
yeah,
ourselves with spirit. And I know,
no,
I know, Sylvain, you would agree with that we're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and that we have lost our sense of connectedness. And they've deliberately,
yeah,
you know, the New World Order has been, propaganda-wise, has been dismantling all of our emotional support systems,
mm-hmm,
for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not supposed to ask our family support. We go to our government because, hey, parents have no rights, and parents screw up. Therefore, the government's going to take better care of you. And this is basically where it's gone to. You look to all of your authority as the government, and they've got it set up that way. And in the last few months, I've seen reports coming out where, first of all, the FDA said in court documents that Americans have no fundamental right to choose what food they eat. Hey, wait a minute. Just because it ain't in the Constitution, what, you expected that document to include diatribes on ham sandwiches? Give me a break. You know, but that's what they said. Now they're coming out and saying that parents have no fundamental right to control the lives of their children until they, mm-hmm, attain adulthood. So,
yeah,
they are destroying every institution of support, of emotional support,
yeah,
that people have. And they leave people with no other option but to reach out to Big Brother. And unfortunately, far too many people are thinking that's okay. And look at the number of dysfunctional families we have.
Yeah.
I mean, where does that come from? It comes from a lack of reliance on the self and an abrogation of all of our responsibilities as human beings.
Yeah, I mean, it's all through materialism and narcissism promoted through the media,
yeah,
and sexual variation and deviation.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's we've been mind-washed. And as you say, it's like there's a lack of kind of spiritual values and integrity among
humans. It's an addiction.
Humans.
The whole,
yeah,
thing is addiction. It's addiction is characterized by one major factor, and that is the lack of the ability to make decisions. And I have in my hands right now a little, it's a sort of a comic book, and it was printed a couple of years after 9/11, and it is called Addicted to War, Why the U.S.
Yeah.
Can't Kick Militarism. Well, what we're talking about here, and what Sylvain's work appears to be to me, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Sylvain, but it appears to me to be an anti-addiction process that you are putting together for people to break their addiction to conforming.
Well,
that's
I'm
what you're
trying
doing,
to,
and it's
I'm
beautiful.
Trying to do two things. The first thing I'm trying to do is I believe I found a way to compete effectively with the mainstream media, okay, and actually put them out of business. There's an article that will be released in the community newspaper, a 1,000-word article that was accepted, that will be, you know, shared across Canada and community newspapers, that we'll be talking about that. That's the first thing, okay? And I want to know people that this tool can soon be available, providing that there's agreement between the community newspapers themselves. The second thing is it's not addiction. I think, well, yes, partly addiction because we're addicted to electronic media for some reason, you know. We have, you know, the iPhones, the iPads, internet, satellite, radio, everything. I mean, they feed us fear, false fear, not real fear, false fear. And I'll tell you why it's false fear. The United States, it's very acute now. The people are afraid of the police, they're afraid of the private police, and they're afraid of the military, okay? Because now they have all the legal power to do all the
criminal
activity.
And their governments and doctors.
But
okay, sorry.
I want to remind people, I was a corrections officer for several years once for Corrections Canada. I worked in a medium, a maximum, and a super maximum at the CBC. And I learned that some of my clients, I call them clients, inmates, were policemen, some were lawyers, some were priests, and some were soldiers, and some were even judges. There is no holy profession. You take a look at the police. Now, we have a false fear of them because police are ordinary people like us, except they have power when they put on that suit, okay? But apart from that, a lot of them believe in the conspiracy theories. I don't know. That's not a good word, but, you know, that's what the
media
calls
word.
It, okay?
I like the word. Because
I like to call them alternative explanations for events.
Realistic explanations for what's happening. Anyway,
very often
so
these conspiracy theories are true.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not theories, they're facts.
Yeah.
Okay, now a lot of them believe in chemtrails. I know because I talk to officers who believe in chemtrails, but they won't say this on the force, okay?
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that. Now,
yeah.
I had a policeman say, says, hey, I need to see you, we need to have a lunch together. And the policeman asked me, aren't you afraid of all this, you know, all the stuff you're telling? He says, no, why should I? I'm telling the truth. You can't arrest me for telling the truth.
Yes, they can.
Nothing but the truth, okay? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm resisting evil as well, too. He says, well, aren't you afraid to wind up in jail? Aren't you afraid that of our guns, this and that? I asked him, I said, how many policemen are there across Canada? And he told me. Then I asked him, how many soldiers do we have in Canada? 48,000. I said, well, they don't all have guns. But if you put them all together, you got about maybe 100,000, 150,000 armed peace officers, as they're called. And so should that scare a population? I'll say why. And I told him, no. I said, do you know how many hunters there are in Canada with registered weapons? 2.5 million. Do you know how many unregistered weapons there are in Canada? More than twice that amount. I said, if ever there was a civil war here, the police would be afraid. Even our military would be afraid because we're not a strong military. We're strong in intelligence, in psychological warfare. Canada is one of the best countries in the war for that. They proved that in the Oka crisis. You know, they fought with their heads and, you know, they just circled the natives until they eventually burned their weapons. But there are reasons why Harper made this security and prosperity partnership with the United States, because if ever there was an uprising, the citizens would win. Now, and I said, even if we go on the American side, because a lot of your listeners are probably Americans, Americans have at least 12 to 15 times more guns than we do. Okay, they outgun the military several times. The only possible way that the military could win in an uprising is if they sprayed us with a chemical or if they nuked us.
Yeah,
okay.
And both of which they could do, and they have all kinds of other weaponry. And I mean, you know, that's no solution, like uprising against the police and the military. That's the worst thing that happens.
I agree with you.
What we need is for the police and military to have a change of heart and want to serve Canadian people and want to serve international justice and so on. That's what we need. And they are our kids. Like, they are our children, our sons and daughters and neighbors,
yeah.
You know. And I agree completely, Sylvain, what you were saying, like, about police. I have a cordial relationship with a few local police who I know, and I respect them as officers, and they're cordial and appropriate with me and such. Like, you know, we need to serve our police and military. We need new generation of leadership. That's what I believe, a new generation of leadership that really, you know, does serve and protect the Canadian people and won't be part of all these deviant agendas that they have on.
I believe they're already there.
Yeah.
We just have to call them. Mm-hmm. We just have to confront them in a respectful way.
Yeah.
You know, next Thursday, I won't do anything illegal. Neither will, you know, the people supporting this, you know, peace movement. Okay?
Yeah.
But we will show that we're not afraid. But we're not breaking any law. We're not confronting. We won't be screaming and chanting and burning flags. It's going to be a new kind of protest. And a bit similar to what the Mahatma did, but with some modifications. But, of course, the mainstream media will not cover it.
No.
So the alternative media will. And they will share it. And the community newspaper editors will be there as well, too. And they will do the job of carrying the truth. And the eventually, the mainstream media will go bust. It's already going bust.
Yeah,
okay?
It's
people
about
time. People are not buying newspapers anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't watch TV at all anymore. I can't.
They're so desperate. They phone us at home for us to subscribe to newspapers. How desperate can you be? You know? And, but all this to say is that we should not be afraid. I think the climax of evolution of humanity is when we, not only when we stand upright, but when we actually stand upright for a worthwhile cause, regardless of what. And I don't think there's anything we have to fear, because that's what the media is using against us. And the only way to conquer this fear, this false fear, is through love. We gotta love all these folks, even the criminal ones. Once we have peace, oh, we'll put them in their place, but, you know, we won't harm them because we won't be like them.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
We will win.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, I feel sorry for these people who are involved in these schemes. It's like they lose their souls and they don't realize it. And, you know, a lot of these people, they'll suffer. I mean, I believe in after-death states, and these people will suffer through their after-death states. They don't attain their souls because of what the criminality and involvement they have. I mean, I feel very sorry for them, and I think people get into it, and they don't know what they're into until they get to certain levels, and then they see it all, and then they're kind of trapped in it. Sometimes I compare the sheep and the goats. Like, the sheep are the sleeping public who don't grasp at all what's really happening. And the goats are people who kind of become entwined in it and then can't get out of it and can't speak truth. And I mean, imagine living in lies all the time as they do. It would be horrible.
Why do we have to imagine, Christopher? We have our own version of our own lies going on in our own lives. The only difference is that's a macrocosm and we are a microcosm. And we have to, in order to get rid of all the lies in society that allow all this corruption to go on, we have to get rid of them within ourselves. If we don't get rid of them within ourselves, we can't recognize it outside ourselves.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the KISS principle?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. Well, I am such a firm believer in that, because that's where you find your broadest ability to get a point across, is when you keep it simple.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, there is one simple law which, if everyone followed it,
do unto others.
Well, pretty much. But the simple law is: do no harm to anything, including yourself.
Oh,
now,
that's
nice. If you
nice.
Truly did no harm to anybody or anything, including yourself, what would this place be? And, of course, what you're talking about there is you're talking about it encompasses the law of karma, which is proven to act not only on the emotional, spiritual level, but also on the physical level, because mm-hmm. it is Newton's third law in the physical expression. It's Newton's third law, equal and opposite reaction, and it's scientifically proven that it works that way. So here we have an immutable, scientifically proven law that we don't follow, that we don't think of. We don't think of our actions, thoughts, and words first before we do them, and in terms of what kind of harm that ripple, we throw that rock into the pond, the ripples go all over the place.
Yeah.
If we thought in advance, if we all just simply thought, do no harm to anyone, including the self, the world would be imbued with fairness, with peace, with trust, with
and longevity.
Longevity. No stress.
Yeah.
Abundance for all. Help
yeah.
for all.
Yeah.
Sustenance for all.
Yeah.
Because of one simple rule being followed. And you know that the Talmud actually describes it as the golden rule, which you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
It says, do not unto your brother what you would not have your brother do unto you. In fact, this is the only law upon which all else is but commentary.
Well,
so that
but then it's funny. I've heard the versions of that where they differentiate then between goyim and Jews, kind
oh,
of.
Oh, yeah, but that's,
that holds
see, that's,
true
that
among
when
the...
When you take a godly truth and add man's viewpoint on it,
exactly,
then you got
a problem.
Exactly,
you distort it. Exactly.
Yeah. In
exactly.
other words, that's why we're
yeah.
told, judge not, because you don't know how. Bottom line, that's why. We don't know how.
Dee, can you give me the time again? Because I'm wondering where we are about...
We're sitting at just past 5:30, honey.
Oh, just past 5:30. Okay, well,
yeah,
we've kept
yeah.
Sylvain on for a lot longer than we thought.
Yes,
but
we
Sylvain,
did. It's been wonderful.
It's been really nice having you share. And I don't know, I don't want to necessarily let you go yet, but Dee had brought something up earlier, which ties all into what we've been talking about. And you know what I'm referring to, Dee. Why don't you
yeah.
share, Dee, a little bit about that? Because
well,
that's a huge issue.
Yeah, and it would be good, Sylvain, that you're here, because
yeah.
I think you can probably contribute to this discussion as well.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
past week, the FBI put out one of their famous little flyers, and it was exposed at the Intel Hub. And what they said was that they've defining a whole bunch of people as potential terrorists, and they're telling this, you know, if you see something, say something. And of course, they had people searched at the Super Bowl, and they got these Viper teams going on all over the place, and that's like a TSA search squad, and they set up in shopping malls and schools and clinics, and you name it, the Viper teams go everywhere. And so you've got all this stuff going on. And what the FBI have done is they have declared certain people to be watchable in terms of their potential terrorists. And among those lists include people who disagree with the official story on 911 mm-hmm. and those who disagree with the government. So what we're basically looking at
here... The majority of the United States.
Huh? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
It means that more than half of the Americans are
yeah,
terrorists.
Yeah, and probably at least a third of Canadians. And bear in mind that NDAA Act that you brought up at the beginning when you joined us, that act, coupled with the Security and Prosperity Partnership and this new border inter-security plan that Harper just signed us to with the United States, that allows them to do cross-border stuff, and that NDAA says that they can go after Americans wherever they are in the world.
Yeah.
That would include Canada.
Yeah.
Now, we
oh, yeah.
have a lot
well,
of
according to this agreement, they can even come, American police can come in Canada, arrest somebody here, and bring him back to the United States.
Exactly.
Like they did with Mark Emery.
Yeah, they can just hijack anybody they want. Now, bear in mind, we have a lot of people in this country who are naturalized Canadians after the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Because we had thousands and thousands of draft dodgers streaming across the border.
Yeah.
I know I married one of them.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is, if these people are now activists against war here in Canada, the American government isn't going to hesitate. They're not going to hesitate. We are in a very precarious position here.
Yeah, we really
are.
The
thing we need to remember is, as Sylvain so rightly pointed out, we outnumber these bastards. We outnumber them strongly. Strongly outnumber them. But I think, as you pointed out, Christopher, an uprising in that sense is not a good idea, but an uprising of the heart.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
that's
I feel. We need the change of heart.
That's what Sylvain's talking about, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's
right.
It's an uprising of the heart.
Yeah. But this, same time, Dee, it's funny you bring this up about the FBI seeing 9/11 truthers as potential terrorists, because, I mean, one of the announcements I was going to make today is the fact that there's a new 9/11 truth conference scheduled for Vancouver this
and
June.
And we're going to have a bit of one next week, which you're going to tell people about at the end of the show, right?
So
we're doing it ourselves, so... Excuse me, all the heck here. I mean, who isn't a terrorist these days?
Well, I mean, who is the terrorist? And in a way, it's we're being terrorized. I feel terrorized by these people.
That's
I mean,
right.
If we really had the app, if they really picked up the terrorists, like, wow, it would liberate humankind. If the police ever really did it, like followed their job, like really arrested the people who did 9/11, like, wow, that would solve the terrorism issue. It would stop the wars.
Yeah, but apparently it's not a healthy thing to use the M word when you talk about 9/11.
The M word?
Yeah.
What's that?
You know, that particular moss that adds itself to rocks. Mossad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
I know.
A number of people that are accused of Mossad, and those people aren't faring well.
No.
That's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also tragic. It's all so tragic. It's overwhelming. And Stefan says that there's no reason to fear, and in ways I agree with that, but in other ways there's very legitimate reason. People should have reason to fear because they can get Alzheimer's from being sprayed from above, and there may be nuclear wars.
There are remedies for that. There's remedies for that, and we'll do shows in the future where I'm giving remedies.
Good.
Organic sulfur, for starters. Vitamin C can protect you against the effects of vaccinations. And organic sulfur, which you can purchase online but have to have a prescription for in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But you can order it online and get it shipped in privately without one.
But still, Dee, I mean, there's lots for people to fear. I mean, if we have a nuclear exchanges, even if it's only bombing Iran, and that stuff spreads throughout the world over time. And the people close by as neighbors, like, look, what'll that do for the people of India? You know, it's like no country's an island. Like, this stuff spreds through the air and over millions of people.
The thing that's got me is, like, I have no fear of death. I'm not a person who fears death, not anymore. I mean, I had those fears when I was back as a sheeple, but I no longer have those fears because I know more, and I've experienced more, and I've dealt more, and I've satisfied my own faith more. So I don't fear for myself. But the thing that bothers me is I have a 3-year-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of world is my 3-year-old grandson inheriting from such as we?
What kind of world have we left for 7 generations, as in the Native tradition?
Hello, it's called, what did you do in the war, Daddy?
That's right. What did you do?
That on my Avon did nothing. Oh, boy, isn't that a proud statement to make?
Yeah, well, I watched men play games with balls and drank beer. How about that? That's a life, eh?
Well...
Yeah, you can have a Super Bowl and get 100,000 and millions of people watching men play games with balls and drinking beer, but you can't get 100,000 out to save their nation or the world.
Yeah, and they're doing more than that. Super Bowl Sunday is usually the day on which more child trafficking and child pornography is done than any other day during the year.
I actually heard that as well, yeah.
Yeah, that is...
On the subject of fear, I just would like to give you a little surprise without going into the details. Okay, there's a category of citizens who are totally fearless. Okay, and some of them communicate with me, and they are truthers because they've got nothing to lose. Some of them have AIDS and they're in final stages. They're strong truthers. They don't care about anything. You know, the FBI will come at their door, come take me. Waterboard me. They don't care because they're going to die anyway. old senior citizens who will be kicked out of their residence because they can't pay the $2,000 a month anymore. There's a number of people who are now fearless because nobody's more dangerous than the person who's got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
And more of us are falling in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they scare us with their... They're ready because, like everybody knows about the FEMA camps, they have these new prisons that are empty right now that are being staffed. They're looking for staff for them. Mm-hmm. That enough to have to occupy several million Americans and Canadians, because some of these camps are here in Canada.
Yeah.
Why did they build them? They built them for a reason, because they expect something to happen.
Yeah.
Now, they can't put us all in jail.
Now, several years ago, I heard from a friend of mine who's in real estate in Toronto. This fellow, of course, real estate people, they know lots of people because that's what they do. They're around meeting people all the time. And this guy had a friend who was in the military and working at the Downsview Air Base here, which is supposed to be ha-ha closed. And he told my friend that he said, oh, they're doing lots of training at Downsview these days. So my friend says, oh, yeah, what are they training him for? He says, you don't even want to know. So my friend says, well, what do you mean? I do want to know. He says, they're being trained in crowd control measures, urban warfare.
Yeah.
And they just had, a few weeks ago in Los Angeles, they had a full-scale maneuver right in downtown Los Angeles where they took over an entire sector of the city, and they had fake bomb attacks and God knows what else going on. And it took a whole day, and Los Angeles was literally shut down for it. And we haven't had these kind of maneuvers here in Canada. But you can imagine what kind of fear that would strike into the heart of people who lived in L.A.
Yeah, and children and such. I mean, it's terrorism in a way. We're being terrorized. I feel terrorized by what our governments are doing and allowing to be done to us. That's the threat of terrorism.
Well, I'll tell you where.
Not Islamicism.
I'll tell you what gets me is I happen to agree with Sylvain. We outnumber them so strongly that what I'm afraid of is the great unwashed. Because they are the propagandized. They are the ones who have been dumbed down. They are the ones living in a paradigm that they can't let go of. And they are subject to chemtrails. They are subject to vaccinations. They are subject to medications.
Yeah. They accept these things willingly.
They accept these things willingly. And breaking them from that paradigm is going to be very, very difficult. And if they get broken from that paradigm, they're very likely to do what a herd of cattle would do, and that stampede.
Yeah, which is totally unuseful.
Yeah, it's like Roy Rogers said many years ago. He said, you know, it only takes one guy to start a stampede, but nobody on earth can stop one.
Oh, yeah. How are we doing for time now, Dee? We must have about 10 minutes.
Yep, that's about what we got.
Sylvain, I'm going to just give you the floor again. Why don't you give out any contact information you have or any final messages? I'll just give you a moment first.
And please tell us how we can participate one way or another in this event of yours next week.
Okay. The event is Thursday, Ottawa. We're meeting in front of the Human Rights Memorial, because Human Rights Memorial Bill was created by Canadian for the United Nations.
Is that on Elgin? On Elgin?
Yeah, that's on Elgin and Laurier.
Okay.
Yeah. And those who can come there, do not bring signs. Do not bring megaphones.
Oh.
Just bring yourselves. We're going to have a lot of singers. The Raging Grannies is just one group. There will be others. It's going to be educational and very entertaining. Okay, we're not going to be blaming everybody, but we are going to be getting all the attention. Not them. We will be, and our cause, which is the cause of peace. Other friends are doing the same thing in their own cities in other countries. And the same spirit of, you know, peaceful, you know, not screaming, because if you scream, their media, their propagandists will label us anarchists. But if we're smiling and singing, oh, they're just harmless crazies who love peace, you know? And, no, but it will be more than that. The message will be clear. Something earlier that Dee mentioned, to keep it simple, we'll have a simple message. Like I had a simple message back in 1984. I created a revolution. More than 60,000 people were involved in Montreal, and we won with against René Lévesque. We gave him a free referendum on November 15th, 1984. The police stopped me one day, and they said, "I recognize you from TV. Are you the guy that wants to do this protest against René Lévesque?" I said, "Yes, I am." "What would you like to know?" I said, "Well, what's your opinion?" I said, "My opinion is my message, and here's my message. Help us create or find employment suitable to our education, period." He said, "That's all?" I said, "That's all." I said, "Well," then I asked him a question. I said, "We're 1983, 84, okay? You must know a cousin or a brother or a sister or a wife who's unemployed." "Of course, I know plenty." And then I said, "Well, why did you stop me?" He said, "Our union supports you."
Yeah.
Police supported me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we all feel the same way, that the majority of people in our services, and it's mainly the people who have been deceived. And if we can spread that awakening, like, that's our only hope in ways. And,
well,
and
you
no,
know what?
Not.
You
sorry,
know what, Christopher? I don't know about you, but I was raised, you know, in this country too, and I can't remember ever there being a time when Canadians weren't just moderately paranoid of their government. They, you know, it's always, oh, the government, you got to comply. It's the government, you got to comply. And the general rule was always, you can't fight City Hall. Well, the truth is, yes, you can.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
truth is, yes, you can. And the difference between Canadians who get things happening and Canadians who do not get anything happening but know the truth is the activity. So, you know, it's not just that you sit in your armchair and agree with us. That's not the point. The point is, if you agree, you won't be able to agree much longer unless you get out of that armchair.
Yeah.
And unless you go down to Elgin Avenue and do that protest next Thursday at 5 p.m. with Sylvain and with all those other peace seekers.
Yeah. It is empowering to it. I know I've done my share through the last years, and it does. It gets you out doing something, you know, even it's walking and being with others and sharing.
You do get the full impact of the fact that there is safety in numbers, because really what they're doing is they're herding us into a vast number of fearful sheep.
Yeah.
And so we are accustomizing ourselves to being, you know, overladen with fear. False evidence appearing real is fear.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is we all have voices. The truth also is we don't use them.
Okay, Sylvain, we need to close up here, and we need to let you go. Any final parting comments? And I would like to say it'd be nice to have you back, and thanks for some of what you're sharing, especially about what's happening internationally. And I hope in the future we can get you back on, and you can give us some other reports.
Sure, and I'll leave. Can I leave my contact information?
Yes, please.
Do.
Yeah. My name is Sylvain Henry. Henry with a Y. My number is 613-600-LEAD, L-E-A-D, 5323. My email is sylvain.henry@gmail.com. My YouTube is, ID is Canadian Spartacus. And my message to Mr. Harper, so you have a taste of it before next Thursday, is just one word. Leave. Please. Now. Leave office.
Okay, thanks, Sylvain, and we'll have you back in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvain. Take care, and please give us all the details.
Okay. How are we doing for time now, Dee? I'm sorry. I'm going to have a watch by next week.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out how to set up my digital clock, and it was driving me nuts sometimes.
All those manuals are written by Chinese people who don't speak English very well. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't understand this. It's simple enough for a 5-year-old, but hey,
Yes, but you lose the manuals after, you know, you pick it up at the used store and you don't have a manual for it. What was our time, Dee? How are we doing? For a couple of minutes left?
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes. We are at, according to my computer, it says 5:55.
Okay, so we got 5 minutes. Well, Dee, we certainly didn't have trouble filling our show, and
I don't think
we're going to have trouble in the future filling our show.
Well, frankly, you know, when it comes to the information that people really need out there these days, there's bushels of it we haven't even touched.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't even raided the storeroom yet. But there's going to be, for everybody who's listening, there's going to be one thing that steps on their toes more than anything else. And that one thing, this is what's good about a grab bag of information, that one thing in the grab bag that is of use to that one person out there who might go and tell 10 people or a couple of people, and preferably the ones with the biggest mouths that you know, to share the truth amongst each other so that we can start developing real opinion instead of opinion based on propaganda. So that we can stop thinking like sheep and stop thinking that just because somebody in Ottawa says so, that makes it true. No.
Or if someone tells you that on TV.
Yeah. Don't believe anything. It's like Buddha said, don't believe anything anybody says just because they're a high official or even because it's me. Don't believe everything. Prove it for yourself. Prove it to yourself so that you can then speak from the heart. And that's exactly what you're talking about. That's exactly what Sylvain is talking about. You don't bomb for peace. You don't fight for peace.
Yeah.
You wage peace is what you do. You show people peace and how it can be.
Yeah.
And shake them out of their stupor. Because I'm going to tell you, those people who have not awoken to the fact that there's something to fight for here, in whatever way you have to, they're going to find out real quick. And they're going to be the ones who are surprised, and we're going to be sitting there going, well, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but...
Yeah, for sure. The signs are all there. Just before I'll let you go, why don't you give out your website again?
Okay, again, we're in the process of construction. I'm the executive director of the National Health Federation of Canada. Our website is www.nhfcanada.ca, which redirects to www.thenhf.com, which is our parent organization, while ours is under construction. And you can email me. I'm at trunkshrink@gmail.com.
Do you want to spell that out?
trunkshrink@gmail.com.
Okay, good. Okay, well, thanks, Dee. I think we're going to have an interesting show, and we'll be having different guests up over time. And we may do something differently next week, doing a 9/11 special, but we'll have to kind of see where that stands. And if there's a problem for any of the people involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not in the United States, and as far as I'm concerned, I still see a border there, so I'm not too worried about what the FBI thinks.
Yeah, but these other people are in the United States, and it may have more implication for them.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know how that's going to happen, but you know, everybody's got to be nervous about something these days, and that's really, really not a good situation.
It's troublesome,
it doesn't mean that you should collapse into fear. What it means is you need to start to think.
Yeah.
You need to think critically what the outcome will be of every action that you undertake, and is it worth it to you to take that risk if there is a risk involved? I mean, we should be thinking that way anyway. Forewarned is or forearmed.
And doesn't it also, Dee, it also shows the value of us having another 9/11 Truth Conference in Canada, which is not yet subject to such a draconian kind of measure.
And I think that what people need to take away from these conferences, I don't think that 911 per se is really so much of the issue anymore, as opposed to the propaganda surrounding it and how they made millions and millions and millions of people believe a great big fat lie.
Yeah.
How they did it that quickly.
Yeah.
How Hitler's prophecy, oh, the bigger lie you tell, the easier it is to sell.
Yeah.
And how did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where we need to go, and this is what we need to discuss, because that's where it's all cored at, is right where, how did we get so stupid about things like 911? How did we get so stupid?
Yeah, and how did so many people become complicit in it and allow it to go on? Like, what happened to people that they lacked that integrity? Or, like, I wonder sometimes, where are our leaders with nobility of heart?
That's
one person I see it in is Ron Paul.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way.
But
the man
that's
talks
complicated.
About restoring, he starts talking about restoring the Constitution. Okay, but the Constitution is overridden by their lack of sovereignty thanks to the trade groups, so I don't know what the heck he thinks he's going to restore.
Well, I mean,
you know,
things like that may be too complex for him to begin with the public. I mean, doesn't know he isn't. Ron Paul's in an impossible situation. Like, he knows about 9/11. Everybody does. All the government does.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
but he can't really go into that. We have to give him a break, I feel.
Yeah, and people should take a look at a column that came out today on henrymacko.com. That's Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, Macko, M-A-K-O-W.com, about where libertarianism came from. You might find that rather interesting.
Wow. You know, Dee, Henry would be a good guest for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know Henry?
Yeah.
Wow. We feel free to invite him.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Okay, great, Dee. Not for next week because we have something planned, but anytime subsequently, and we'll work together. I'd be honored to have him on our show.
Oh, I think it would be great. And him and Mel Herdig.
Yeah.
Mel Herdig would be an interesting guest as well. He's been around forever.
That's
in Winnipeg.
Do you know Mel?
I've never met Mel, but I've known of Mel since I was a kid because I was raised in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And Mel is a phenomenal guy and a phenomenal thinker, but everybody used to be told he was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy like Fox, Mel Herdig.
Yes. Okay, so, well, thank you, listeners. This has been the Zero Point Show on BBS Radio. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. My website is at www.zeropoint.ca. And I think we have a very interesting show today, and Dee's going to be a regular person on the show in the weeks and months ahead. And thank you, Dee.
Oh, thank you, Christopher. It's been a great show. And thank you again to Sylvain, who's no longer with us, but I hope he's still listening. He was great.
Yeah, wasn't he? Yeah, I was really pleased. I was really pleased. And I think he's a good person that we can call on now and then and give him an invitation, like if he wants to come on to announce something or, you know, share stuff, information. Yeah, that was a real pleasure. Yeah. Okay, so thank you, Don, in the studio there, and thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Dee Nicholson. Come on, people, we got to be upright of heart. We have to try to be brave to face this monster together, and we need to work from a community level and be building community and sharing with our peers.
That's who we need to be.
Yeah, we need to turn this thing around, this madness of the wars and such. Okay, so God bless. Thanks. Goodbye.